on the food and everything, the snacks, they were really good. Kind of kept me awake too, because I was getting sleepy back there listening. I appreciate all the speakers too. I've learned a lot. I've got the papers, and I go over them again, and I'll use them also in my ministry. I'm glad to be here again. Even if I didn't have opportunity to speak, I had the opportunity to visit with you and see all of you again. It's really a blessing to see you and a fellowship with you, and just to be here. Pastor Dave kind of caught me off guard. I was real busy, and we couldn't get together. I leave him a message, and he sent me a few emails, and I didn't get them on my computer. So that's why I was a little under the gun. But I followed my Bible Institute leader, Kevin Jeffrey, and of course I didn't put my name on my paper. I was a good student. I was a good student in Florida. Kevin taught me well, I'll say that. I wanted to talk to you this afternoon about something I was working on when I heard from Pastor Spurbeck. I was in my personal Bible study. I was reading about the pronoun other and another, one another. I was just doing some work on my own, and it kind of struck me and hit me that the Christian life primarily is really about other people, others, and one another. Of course, that struck me because of the way I used to be before I was saved. Before I came to know the Lord, He graciously saved me by His work on the cross and faith in Him. I was a very selfish person. I mean, I was serving someone, but it wasn't God. I was, I was serving the unholy Trinity. Me, me, and me. Yeah. I was only interested in three people, me, myself, and I. And my parents tried. They say, oh, you're too selfish. You got to help your brothers, your sisters, you know, your neighbors and everything. They did their best. They shared the truth with me in scripture, but I was apart from God, separated from God, and I was a sinner. And I was looking out for one person. I was going to make it. I was going to succeed if I had to run over people. So that's how selfish I was. But when God so miraculously saved me, after a while, after beginning to grow and trying to mature, just like your banner says, all of us are growing and maturing in Christ. And I begin to grow and I say, you know what? It's not about me. And what struck me is so many times in the Bible, how we run over these pronouns, other and one another. We kind of read right over them, but they're mentioned over 300 something times. And that's just by itself, sometimes in compound forms and other forms. But the point I want to make in my title is that the Christian life is primarily about others. Is that it's an others-centered life. It's not about you. The Christian's life is a life to be lived following the Lord Jesus Christ's example. What did He do? He was always looking out for others. I mean, He was always here. It says in Mark, I don't have that scripture here, but it just came to my mind. Mark, I think it's chapter 10, verse 45. It says that even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Or minister, or to serve. And that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. So following our Lord's example that He left on earth in His lifetime, it is a life controlled by the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way I could begin to serve other people. The Holy Spirit would place on my mind, hey, forget about yourself. Now, I'm not saying for you to be selfless. There's responsibilities you have as a human being, as a father, as a mother, as a young person. Don't neglect yourself, but do not forget about other people. The Christian life is about others. So we're going to look at some scriptures here. We're going to look at these pronouns, and I'll introduce you to them in certain forms, and then we're going to put this together and see how we can serve one another better, like you're doing this weekend, that you're doing just that. So the Christian life is a life controlled by the leading of the Holy Spirit and the pattern after the light and truth that's revealed to us in scripture. Believers are to maintain a life that is not self-centered. Remember, it's not about you. It's not all about you. But a life that's in service to God. You want to serve God? You know, everybody will say, yeah, I want to serve God. I want to serve the Lord. Try serving others. The Christian life is about others and one another. We ought to place other believers as more important than ourselves. We also have an obligation to evangelize others and other unbelievers, that is, around us, to minister to meet the spiritual and material needs of others. And I'm going to distinguish these others, because we won't see it in the text. When I use the word other in English, in Greek, it's a allos, and I got it here for you on page one. Just this word alone by itself, and it may be in the plural form too, is used 155 times. That's just in the New Testament. There's another word for other. They're used interchangeably, but it's others of a different kind. It's heteros. And I'll use the English word on the next page too, so we can follow along with it. Heteros, another or other of a different kind, is used 98 times in the New Testament, and is used, sometimes they're used together in the same verses also. They're also used as synonyms of one another. You won't see it in the English, you just see other, but they are used interchangeably, and they are used as synonyms of each other. So those little pronouns, play a good role in our Bible, and in our, spiritual growth and maturity. So they're used as synonyms. Others and others of a different kind. They originally both mean like numerical distinctions from a qualitative difference. Allos is others, and it adds the idea of others one besides that is. And you'll see later on. I'll bring that out earlier. Heteros, it means others, but it distinguishes others of a different kind, or others one of two. In other words, it's a different other than the next one. Now, if that didn't confuse you, this will. Now, listen to this statement. stay with me, please. Every different other is an other, but not every other is a different other. Now you're confused. Well, but at least you're awake. I got your attention now. Let me say it a little bit better. Every heteros, others of a different kind, is an other. But not every allos, others of the same kind, is a heteros, others of a different kind. I see the light went on a little bit. So you're tracking with me. So generally speaking, though, it simply means the distinctions of individuals. Heteros involves the secondary idea of different in kind. Okay. But the context, of course, is our friend, and the context will help us out. And it can mean a specific difference, you know, a certain difference. The second point, when we speak about these pronouns, and we'll give some examples in scripture, these two words become important theologically when they are express a more or less qualitative difference. Scripture examples. Let's turn to our first text, if you would, please. Mark chapter 12, the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 12, and we'll look at verses, let's look at verse 28 to 33. Mark 12, verse 28 to 33. And he's talking about the commandment and the greatest commandments here. And it starts out here in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the greatest commandment? Which is the foremost important commandment? And these were Sadducees here that were coming here to test our Lord. And Jesus answered him in verse 29. The first of all the commandments is, he mentions the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, he answered that Sadducee. He answered that scribe. Now, the scribes were kind of, they had a little pride, you know, because they recorded the scriptures, the scribes did. And these Sadducees thought they were trying to set up our Lord. But Jesus didn't stop there. He went on in verse 31, and he said, oh, but there's a second. The scribe wanted to know what's the first and greatest and foremost. Because they could keep that. They could say, well, I love God. Look, I keep the law. Moses was talking about the law. The scribe said, well, that's something I can achieve. I can keep those laws. So that'll prove that I'm following the greatest and foremost important commandment. But then Jesus said this in verse 31. He said, wait a minute, scribe, Sadducees. And the second is namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other, and that's our word, other. There's no other commandment greater than these. The Sadducee didn't want to know that. You see, we forget about our neighbor. We forget about that other person. Now, this was under the law. Now, when the Sadducee just described that is, when the Lord said neighbor, first thing he's thinking, another Sadducee. He's not thinking about a Samaritan. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritan. No way. We're not even going through Samaria. Let's go north around the Jordan River, bypass the whole city of Samaria. They hated the Samaritans. But Jesus said, love your neighbor. What I want to talk to you this afternoon is about some of the same things Pastor Dale Spurbeck talked about. I want to show you how to love one another, how God tells us to love one another, and we'll get there shortly. But that's the use of a pronoun eros. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, another example. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 5 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We look at verse 5 through 11. I'm going to have you turn pages so you can stay alert, get the circulation done, and stay awake. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 11. And Paul writes here to the Corinthians, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watered is one. When we talk about others and one another, there's a sense of unity there, a oneness right there. We become one in the body of Christ. He says it in verse 8 again. Now he that planted and he that watered is one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together. I think that's what went on this weekend when I heard the different speakers. Laboring together. A labor of love. One another. Together. Intimately together. He says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. You want to put your emphasis on Apollos. You want to put your emphasis on me as a minister. But he said, I've laid the foundation and another built it. We're laborers together. You may preach a message that you might think nobody received that message. Nobody learned anything from it. They will, because the Holy Spirit will bring the word of God and produce the fruit in the life of other people. Paul said, wait a minute, Corinthians, we're laborers together. I have laid the foundation. Paul was humbling himself here. He said, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other, that's our word there, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid. And what's that foundation? Which is Jesus Christ. No other foundation can no man lay. So that's the use of the word allos and heteros. Just a few examples. I want to now point to put the emphasis here, but we'll move on here. There's another pronoun in our title. I mentioned others, one and one another. I want to talk about the reciprocal pronoun allelon, allelos. And it just means one another. I gave you three different uses of it, the genitive use of it, the accusative use, and the dative use, and we'll just look at those. The reciprocal pronoun one another, it's a mutual understanding, a mutual pronoun, one another, loving one another, or each other. In English, the word parallel is associated with that. You see it on page 2, number 3. And it's used, that reciprocal pronoun, one another, is used 100 times and the New Testament. Let's look at one example. You're in 1 Corinthians. Turn to the right to James, please. James, and we'll look at chapter 4. I want to skip around here in James. James chapter 4, please. James right here. Now let's look at verse 6. He says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisted the proud, but give grace unto the humble. And a way we're going to see how we can reciprocal love to one another, you and I are going to have to humble ourselves, because we're going to meet difficult people in our lifetime. But you're going to have to humble yourself in order to demonstrate God's love to them. Jump down to verse number 10. He says, again, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. In verse 11, speak not evil one of another. We have to be careful now. You know what our tongue said, somebody was saying in one of the messages. He says, speak no evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And we're going to look more at this too. These examples about how should we be treating one another. And yes, we do judge each other at a certain extent. If you find another brother, a sister in sin, and you're loving that particular individual, you're going to go to them and try to correct them and put them on the right road. Another example I want to look at as you look at the reciprocal pronoun is Matthew chapter 24, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 10. Matthew 24, 10. Matthew 24, 10, and it says here, get there with you. Matthew writes, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. That's just a different use of this reciprocal pronoun. So look at what they're doing here, Matthew says. And many shall offend and shall betray one another. That's not what we do. And shall hate one another. We're going to be talking here pretty soon about not hating one another, but loving each other as God loves us. Let's go to John 13:34 and look at another example of the reciprocal pronoun. The Gospel of John, chapter 13 and verse 34. John 13:34, very familiar verse. And I would imagine a lot of you can quote it. John 13, verse 34. John writes here, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. We'll work with that. We figure we know how to love one another. But let's look specifically as we look at the love that we can share, that love that comes from God. God is the source of our love. It comes out from him. But he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, really, we think we know how to love each other because we'll embrace each other, we'll hug, show some emotion. But love is, it's difficult to love some people. I think I heard it here one time, and it stayed with me. Someone said that God loves people that I don't like, you know? And I thought about it for a while. So, yeah, I have some enemies out there, lots of them. I got a lot of friends, I got brothers and sisters in Christ, but God loves people. And we're going to work with that when we get to 1 John chapter 4. But think about it. God does love people I don't like. Now, he died for the whole world. He demonstrated that love, but we'll get there. But verse 34 again, and we'll come back and look at verse 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. How are you going to love one another if you don't know how God loves you? So we need to look at that. He says, as I have loved you, that you love one another. You see, in order for others to see the love of God, the love of Christ, they're going to see it through you and I. See, you are his hands and you are his feet. So if you're going to love one another, you have to know how God loves you. We'll come back to verse 35. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, another familiar verse. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. I don't hear a lot of pages turning, so I'm going to have to do like I do in Mississippi and Louisiana. I have to kick my voice up a few octaves, you know, I'll wake everybody up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says this. Let us consider one another. When was the last time you considered someone else? Maybe a weaker brother or sister, a brother in need, a brother in pain, a brother that's sick. He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another. We're going to work with that too when we get in our key verse in Philippians chapter 2. That word, exhorting one another. I don't know if it was Pastor Camille or someone told me, when you exhort one another, you want to encourage them. You know, you want to spur them on and everything. But sometimes you can exhort one another. Come on, you can do it. You know, you can do the works that God has for you to do. You want to encourage them, exhort them. But sometimes that word exhortation means that you have to do a little correcting also. Mm-hmm. And it's also tied in with comforting one another. But we'll get there too when we get to Philippians. Another use of the reciprocal pronoun. Sorry, you were in John 13. You don't have to turn there. I'll turn there. But I mentioned verse 35. John chapter 13, verse 35. If you turn, though, I'll know you're with me. But if you don't turn, then I have to start preaching a little louder. I think I'm in the backwoods of Mississippi and I get real loud. John 13, verse 35. Another familiar verse to you. We had just read verse 34, the new commandment. But verse 35, John writes, Jesus saying here, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. How are they going to know? They have to see God's love in you and you experiencing God. As you experience God's love, then you share it with other people, others and one another. That's the focus of the Christian life. It's not about you and it's not about me. Another example I want to take you to, reciprocal use of the pronoun one another, the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 12. Romans chapter 1 verse 12. Paul writes here to the Romans, he says here in Romans chapter 1 verse 12, that is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. That mutual faith, I'm trying to tie into a reciprocal pronoun here. That faith that we all have, that faith that we're going to share, and we're going to get to a specific faith, and we'll get to a specific gospel that we're going to share with other people. Here in Romans 1:12, let's hop over to James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Another example of the use of this pronoun, James 5:16. James writes here, he says, confess your faults one to another. That's our reciprocal pronoun there. And pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man or righteous person availeth much. So we're going to look at that more about the different Well, it's coming up next. I got a little list here I put down for you. And it's just, how should we relate and treat one another? And we're going to work from this list, the 7 lists. And I got it in a certain order. I tried to arrange it in a certain order. But first of all, we ought to prefer one another. And we'll get to the scripture. I just want to get you, get it in our thoughts right now. So we should prefer one another. In other words, put others before yourself. Prefer them. We shouldn't judge one another. We don't know all the situations or circumstances that someone is going through. Don't be too quick to judge one another. The third point is we should admonish one another. Admonish one another. And then the fourth one is to bear one another's burden. And this time that we're living in, there's a whole lot of burdens we can share. Everybody's going through hard and difficult times. We were mentioning suffering. One of the speakers, I think it was Escamilla, mentioned suffering. When someone is going through a hard time and the pressure is great in their lives, we need to come alongside and also try to bear that burden, bear one another's burden, submit to one another. Now, that's a hard thing for some believers, you know. Submit to leadership, submit to your supervisors, your boss at work, but also submit to one another. And we'll say some more about that. The sixth point is pray for one another. Now, we say, I'm praying for you, brother. Then we forget to pray. Mm-hmm. But I had someone call me at home, and they were sharing. And I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'll be remembering you in my prayers. And I said, I'll pray for you. I said, well, wait a minute. Let's pray right now because I'll probably forget. I'm getting ready to go eat supper. So we prayed right there over the phone. You know, we had the speaker phones on. And so I don't want to forget. So we ought to pray for one another, intercede for one another. And then the last point that we're going to be working with is we need to know how to love one another. We think we know how to love, but if we don't know or haven't experienced God's love, it's going to be hard for you to love one another. So we're going to work with that last point, and Pastor Dale did a good job already. I can't really add to what he said. I'll just try to reiterate what Pastor Dale said in his paper on Friday about loving one another. So moving on, as we move on, I'm just going to use the English spelling when I mention the pronoun other. I won't use allos, so we'll just go on down. And I want to give you one last reference for it, though. Matthew 27:42. I'm going to use, again, the heteros spelling in English and the allos spelling so you can follow along. So I won't put the Greek in there anymore. A scripture reference, again, for allos. It's used in different ways. Here it's used as an absolute, like the subject of the sentence, a noun. Matthew 27:42. And then we'll look at verses, chapter 20 and 3. But first, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 42. Let me get there with you. Matthew 27:42. And it says this. It says this in Matthew 27:42. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. I don't think he said he saved others. That's others of a different kind too, seeking salvation. So he said he serve others, but he cannot save himself. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. I don't think even if Christ would have came down from the cross, they would have believed him. I don't think so. That's just my opinion. So that's one use of allos. Another, you're in Matthew. Just turn to chapter 20 now. Turn back to chapter 20 and verse 3. Matthew 20 and verse 3. And it says this, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. This are just some scriptural uses of the word other, allos. Sometimes it's also used as an adjective, like a lot of these words are used interchangeably. You're still in Matthew. We'll look at Matthew 4 and verse 21. I'll keep in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. In verse 21. Matthew 4:21 says this. And going from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the other brother. You see the duality and the numerical importance that this little pronoun plays? Other two brethren. It's a distinction, numerical distinction. And then let's go back to 1 Corinthians and look at another example. And here at 1 Corinthians, you're going to see the use of both others of the same kind and also others of a different kind. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 29. 1 Corinthians 10:29. Paul writes here, conscience, I say not thine own, but of the other. And that's our appearance of heteros, others of a different kind. For why is my liberty judged of another? That's another of the same kind, another man's conscience. So that's another use where these two pronouns are used together in the same verse in 1 Corinthians. It's also used with the definite article. Sometimes it wants to become the subject of the verse or the sentence. As we see in back in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, let's look at the use with the definite article. Matthew 5 and verse 39. And it says this, and he was come in, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And that's not the verse I wanted. No. Sorry about that. Yeah, let's go to back to 1 Corinthians. I want to give you one more, then we'll move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 39. Paul was writing here, 29, I'm sorry. Is it 39? Thank you. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. That's just some more examples, again, of the uses, and with the definite articles, the others. So these pronouns are important. Let's look at some references for heteros, others of a different kind. Acts 4:12 is another verse that we come across here. The book of Acts. Chapter 4 and verse 12. And we'll look at another use of heteros here. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. That's a powerful verse here. No salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name of a different kind given among men whereby we must be saved. So that's two uses of allos and heteros in the same verse there. There's no salvation in any other. No other Jesus, no other name, but in his name, that is. So that's appearance of heteros. I've got the other verses printed for you, so you don't have to turn there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. It's in your outline. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. He says, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, and that word preach there is a word I used to hear someone likes a lot. It's karut, comes from the root caruso, and that's a one of our pastors used that a lot, and he would always say, herald that word with authority. You know? That's caruso. But if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. When he says if he preaches another Jesus, which you have not received, he uses a verb here. It's from a Lambano, to take and receive. He also says another spirit which you have not received. That's it again, that take and receive, another spirit. But when he gets to another gospel, he said that you have not accepted. I think that's from Decomai, or you've not welcomed, or you've not received. So those are Greek words stood out to me here as we talk about others and one another. Let's drop to Galatians there in your outline. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Paul writes to the Galatian believers and he says this, I am amazed. I guess he was shocked. He said, I'm in wonder I'm in amazement that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Paul said, I just can't believe it. I marvel and I stand in wonder that you have, you so quickly deserting him, taxius, so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is not really another gospel. There's only one gospel, and we'll see here. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And Roman numeral 2 at the bottom of page 3. When we truly focus our attention on others and one another, now really think about the people around you, your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. When we really focus our attention on others, this automatically brings us together as one, especially other believers, one body, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which is named the church. The fellowship and the kinship within our company of redeemed, which exists in no other relationship and association of people in this world. It's his church. It's his body. The close association and union brings out a corresponding manner of conduct from the Christian toward fellow believers. The believer comes to recognize the vital union. We talked about the oneness, others, one and one another. So the believer comes to recognize the vital union into which he has been brought by the baptism of the Spirit. And let's look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. And it's there in the outline. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he says this, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing, and here's our word, reciprocal use of the pronoun, one another in love. And we'll see how to do that. We'll see that as we look at God's love. Endeavoring to keep the unity, that's the oneness we spoke about, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And let's turn, I want to look at another section of Ephesians. So look at Ephesians 4 and verse 6, verse 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, I didn't put that in the notes. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 4 through 6. Paul continues to write here, he says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Section B on page 4. Our relationship to others and one another should be demonstrated with a godly kindness. Let all bitterness and wrath, he said, and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, and be ye kind one to another. If you're kind to someone else, you're going to receive that back. This is a reciprocal act of a believer. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. But sometimes we trip over there. We don't want to forgive, or we don't want to forgive right away. We'll kind of harbor unforgiveness. We'll keep it. We'll leave it trapped in our hearts and minds. He says, no, forgiving one another. When someone offends me, I try to forgive them as quick as possible because I know how our Heavenly Father has forgiven me. You know, what pops in my mind every time someone does me harm and I have to forgive them, I think about how our Heavenly Father has forgiven me. I think about 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if God has forgiven me, surely I can reciprocate that forgiveness to someone else, others, and one another. For Christ's sake. Look at point number one. He says, underneath the B, no man go beyond any by defrauding a brother in any matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of such. As we have also forewarned you and testified, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 6 and 9. And then he goes on in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and Paul writes, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Don't be putting one another down. Edify one another. Encourage one another. Lift up one another. That's what's going to bring strength and unity in the body of believers, even as also you do. Number three, he says, speak no evil one of another. Now, that's some things we can say, but we shouldn't speak evil against our brothers or sisters. No, it's always to speak the truth. Now, if you're going to correct them, do it in love, but don't speak evil against your brothers. Number four, he says, believers are to submit to one another and to honor and in honor to prefer one another. And we're going to deal more on that preference for other people as we look at Philippians, our key verse, when we get there. So believers to prefer one another, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And that's in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. In the C part, he says, the believer spiritual gifts are to be directed especially to the need of the children of God. As we have therefore opportunity, Paul writes to the Galatian church, as you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now, our goal is to help all, but especially, specifically, unto them who are of the household of faith. You see, we reach out to others. Remember we said others of the same kind? But we also help out others of a different kind. We also help out unbelievers. Someone was saying something about evangelism. Evangelism is a lifestyle of a believer. Remember, the Christian life is about others and one another. So we definitely reach out to one another of the same kind. We also extend God's grace, extend God's love, and extend God's message of salvation to unbelievers, others of a different kind. And then the D part, he says right here, the believer's ministry as believer priests is to offer prayers for all the saints, praying always, don't stop, pray without ceasing, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. I underline the word watching for you. Now, we'll pray for one another. We're intercede, and we just remember other people, and we'll communicate with our Heavenly Father about them. But here he says, in Ephesians, Paul said, watching thereunto with all perseverance. That's a few other texts in the Bible where it says, watch and pray. And I was looking at that. We'll look at it again when we get to another section. But watch and pray. In other words, be on the alert. I'm very sensitive to the believers where I fellowship with on Sundays. And I'm very observant. I listen to the prayer requests going out in our particular part of the body. And I meet with people and I try to make a point to get around to all the folks. And if someone was going through something, some difficulty, some hard time, or even somebody's experienced a joyous, a happy situation, so I'm always watching and praying. Sometimes when I do that, I'm already praying for a person, even though I don't know their need, but God knows their need. It's because I'm examining them and watching them. I'm almost praying specifically for what they really need, and I didn't even know the need. So he says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Again, he mentions this, that you may be healed. That's in James 5:16. We read that earlier. Confess your faults one to another. Now, we don't like to do that. I don't like to confess my faults. You know, sometimes I think I don't have faults, but that's related to my unholy trinity time when I was serving me. But if I offend another brother or sister in Christ, I don't wait. I don't put it off. I don't procrastinate. I'll go to a brother and sister, even if when I find out I offended them, and or if they found out that I may have been caught in some kind of something that's not maybe what I should be doing as a believer. And I'll go, if I offended someone, I'll go and confess to them right away. and make it right, because I want to be able to experience God's love, and I want God's love to be shown out in my life too, so I can have that relationship with other believers that he mentions here in James. That's Roman number 3. We're going to move on here. The underlying principle, the underlying principle in relationship to believers, to one another, is love. And I didn't know Pastor Dale Spurback was speaking on this subject too. And I didn't know until Pastor Dale gave me a hint. But I want to just reiterate what he said also about loving one another. The love that God, the Holy Spirit, gives to us to share with others, it's embodied in the first commandment of Christ. We read that earlier. In grace teaching of the upper room, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. We read that in John 13, as I have loved you. Now, this love is just not, I think Pastor Dale was distinguishing the different types of love. He said as God's kind of love, agape, as a friendship, phileo, as a love that between husband and wife. And he was making the distinction. But when we look at loving one another, sometimes that takes a great sacrifice. And we even call it sacrificial love. It's hard to love some people. People are difficult. People can be mean. People can be evil and very tough. But if we're going to love others like God loved us, it's a sacrificial love. And I want to go on and say, when we're talking about loving one another, that's a certain ethic that's involved with this. How our love and care for one another is to be lived out in our behavior, our conduct. Let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. You know, my sisters call me sometime and check, supposedly checking up on me, see if I'm still alive. And they call me and we'll talk and they'll go on and then they say, okay, love you, bye. I say, whoa, you know. I said, so I don't think they love me that much. I think they want to get off the phone, you know. I don't want me, they want me to go do something to help their husband out or something like that. But for the believer now, we don't want to experience any hypocrisy in our love. And he goes on, he says, abhor or hate strongly that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And we'll get to that again in our key verse in Philippians 2. He says, be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Now be long-suffering. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. I think we need to put on that gift of hospitality there to others. That goes a long way. Bless them which persecute you. You know, people will come against us, I think someone said. You know, if they persecuted Christ, he said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. We shouldn't be surprised or anything when we go experience persecution. But it's hard to bless those that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one for another. Now, it doesn't mean we're clones or we're copycats of one another, the same mind. It's in the realm of our mind, of our thinking, we almost act the same, but we almost act like our example, Jesus Christ. So we have the same mind, think the same thing. We're not robots or we're not cloning each other here. This is not a cult. This is a Christian life, others and one another, thinking alike, doing the same thing, that oneness, that unity toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, it says here in Romans chapter 12. Part B, it says, if we're going to look at Christian ethics, we have to have Christ-like considerations. And he writes in to the Colossian church, a church that he had never visited. He says here in Colossians chapter 3, put on therefore. In the Christian life, I think I spend more time changing. I got to put this on and I got to take this off. And he says, put this on, take this off. So you're putting on a lot of things. But here he says, you are to put on, therefore, elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. We're going to look again at those bowels of mercy. That's nothing to do with what we have for lunch now. But it's the inner part of you, or the heart. We're going to look at that in Philippians again when we get to this long sentence in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. But he says, Christ-like consideration, put on therefore elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness again. He's just repeating himself again. This is what we should be doing. This is how we treat others. This is how we treat one another. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And we just said that about forgiveness. And that's Colossians chapter 3. Now, how can Paul write this to a church he had never visited? He heard about the Colossians. And so he was able to write this to them. If you're going to have Christian ethics, of course, you're going to have Christ-like compassions. Christ-like compassions. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one to another. We need to be more compassionate in the body of Christ. You know, sometimes we're a little cold, and I got to watch myself too, and I got to be more sensitive to people around me, especially in the church, the body of Christ. And I have to be more compassionate, and you do too, probably. He said, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. And that's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. If we're going to exercise Christian ethics, we need to be Christ-like in love. Above all things, he says, have fervent, he uses the word charity, but it's love. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sin. Love shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality again, one to another, without grudging. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9. Roman number 4, we talked a lot about love, and Pastor Dale did a real good job again. And here I want to, I've been saying how we should love one another. I want to look at how God loves us. So I want to look more deeper into the love of God. Roman number 4. The believer is able to love others because God is the source. And love is out from God. He's the source of love. I just want to tell you that God is love. When I say that, I'll have to bring it to the scripture. And we'll look at 1 John. Let's turn now to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. How do we love? How is the believer able to love others? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Just two verses here. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. I'm going to look at God's love for the believer. John writes here about AD 90, the last living apostle, John, and he writes this in chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. So I looked, I read that, and I know the verse, 1 John 7 and 8. And I want to know, how can the believer love others out of God being the source of this love? That's where this love comes from. It's not our own love. We don't make it up, stir it up, or mix it up. It's the love of God. God is love. When I thought about God as love, I was thinking, well, that's just one of his attributes. And it is. It's an attribute of God, love. But as you read on, I want to say that we'll jump to page 6. When I say that God is love, the underlying principle in relationship with believers is to love one another. love, the love that God, the Holy Spirit gives to us to share with others, is embodied in the first commandment that we read in John 13. Christ in the grace teaching of the upper room, a new commandment I give unto you again, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Okay. Page 6. When I mentioned to you that God is love, and we read 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. God is love. And I said that's one of his attributes. When I say attributes, you know about the attributes of God, his goodness, his mercy, his love. I think it's more than just as an attribute, not that I minimize the word attribute. When I see attribute, I think that's something, as a noun, it's, like you said, it's, something that only God has, a quality that only God has. Now God is love, and it's simply not that God loves, but that he is love. Love is not God. I think Pastor Dale said that. And we're gonna stop right here, and I'll start back at this Roman numeral when we get back. I'll pass this time to break time. So let's take a break, and we'll come back.